Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek, so if you're ready to go, I am too. Our first article is entitled, Higley Breaks Down Override Spending. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, October 21st, 2025, and written by Samantha Ray. As it hopes voters change their mind from last year's defeat of a 15% operating budget override, Higley Unified officials broke down how it spent the override money that it did get last school year. All districts are required by law to give an annual accounting of bond and override expenditures, and the presentation October 14th represented Higley's compliance with that statute. Of the $14 million it received, the district spent 34% on teacher compensation, 22% on elementary specials, 21% on maintaining average class sizes, 13% on programs for gifted and special needs students, as well as all-day kindergarten, and 10% on education resources in classrooms. In 2019, voters approved a 7-year maintenance and operations override for Higley, authorizing a local property tax increase and allowing the district to exceed its budget by up to 15% of its revenue control limit, a state-set spending cap. Last school year was the fifth and final year of full funding in the approved 7-year period. The district received $14,173,502 in override funds and placed a continuation on the 2024 ballot. But voters narrowly defeated a 7-year override extension, and as a result, Higley had to begin phasing down that total in roughly thirds this school year. The first cut was nearly $5 million, putting this school year's override funding at an estimated $9,285,401. The cut eliminated over 80 positions, including administration positions, elementary library aides, custodial staff, and district instructional coaches. The governing board decided to place the request again on the November 4th ballot, hoping to avert another $4.4 million spending cut in the 2026-27 school year. District officials said that cut will affect class sizes, walking boundaries, dual language immersion, elective and extracurricular opportunities, teacher and staff pay, and elementary band, orchestra, music, art, and library programs. If the continuation does pass, no cuts will be necessary and the property tax rate within the district boundaries will return to $1.28 per $100 of net assessed valuation. Higley calculates that the tax impact for the average homeowner will be $11.17 per month. The full budget override amount is estimated to be $13,871,165 per year, but fluctuates with enrollment. This funding fuels educators and popular programs and drew parents and students to the October 14th meeting to voice their support for the override. We must foster a lifelong love of learning as a foundation to success, parent Jenna Schmidtel said. Students deserve safe and up-to-date campuses. We must rivet our attention and interest on Higley Unified School District and the goodness that it brings to our community. We must take affirmative action supporting the educational opportunities available at every grade level in the district. Schmidtel said the students and staff of Higley Unified School District are worth the investment. The investment is not only in them, but also in our community. Strong schools add to the strength and safety of the community now and in the future. Let's continue to thrive. Please vote yes. Student Dominic Reddy also urged approval and cited the Mandarin Dual Language Immersion Program, which could be targeted for cuts if the override fails again. The skills I've gained from these opportunities have provided me the preparations to deal with whatever life throws at me, Dominic said. And I want to be clear, I'm not here because I'm some sort of a teacher's pet. I can count my Student of the Month awards on one finger. I'm a regular student who has been given a chance, and that's made all the difference, he continued. The Mandarin program hasn't just been a class for me, it's been a door to new opportunities. End of story. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek Holding Halloween Party for Residents. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, October 21st, 2025, written by Janet Perez. The Queen Creek Recreation and Aquatic Center is hosting the not-so-spooky Halloween party. The event for residents only runs from 7 to 9 p.m. Saturday, October 25th at the Center, 22343 East Ryan Road in Frontier Family Park. Queen Creek is bringing back a town-sponsored Halloween event for 2025. The party comes after the town called it quits on its highly successful trunk-or-treat event in 2024 when crowds became too large and it adopted the annual Christmas parade from the Queen Creek Chamber of Commerce. Designed for kids of all ages, Not-So-Spooky Halloween Party will include classic trick-or-treating, carnival games for all ages, a, quote, spooky house, end quote, experience just for teens ages 13 to 19, escape box challenges, and hands-on activities for the whole family. Costumes are encouraged and candy is plentiful. Children under 12 must be accompanied by an adult. The cost for adult residents is $10 and the cost for residential kids is $7. Registration at https://bit.ly/46YEDVX is required. Attendance is limited to 200 people. Quote, we're excited to offer a new ticketed Halloween event at the Recreation and Aquatic Center. This is just one of many family-friendly celebrations we'll be hosting throughout the year, end quote. Parks and Recreation Director Adam Robinson stated in an email, quote, we understand how much our residents loved the original Trunk or Treat event, which had outgrown our venue and resources. This is a new way for residents to continue the Halloween festivities, end quote. For years, Queen Creek's three signature events were Spring into QC, Founders Day, and Trunk or Treat Halloween. But that changed in 2024 when the town took over the Christmas parade that had been hosted by the Chamber and the Kiwanis Club of Queen Creek. In 2024, the town debuted its Queen Creek Hometown Christmas Parade. In addition, the town separated the Christmas tree lighting ceremony from the parade, making it into a second holiday event. In announcing the end of Trunk or Treat, the town stated it had exponentially grown and was becoming unwieldy. Quote, last year, Trunk or Treat drew 20,000-plus attendees, a testament to the community's desire to come together, end quote, a 2024 town press release stated. Quote, while last year's event was successful, it continued to move away from the core components of the town's signature events and was becoming more logistically challenging, end quote. As the town center has developed, parking options north of Ocotillo Road have become limited. Plus, Ellsworth Road had to be closed for 2 days so the Trunk or Treat event could be safely set up and taken down. Quote, the extended closure resulted in increased traffic congestion in the heart of the community. The event itself was also becoming increasingly expensive to produce. Even with the scaling back activities and reducing the amount of candy, the event was projected to exceed budgetary constraints for 2024, end quote, according to the town release. Safety questions also came to the fore. In 2023, the Queen Creek Police Department announced it would be buying mobile metal vehicle barriers for crowd protection after the town council voted to accept a $67,140 grant from the Arizona Department of Homeland Security. The barricades can protect large gatherings of people in case of a vehicle attack. Quote, the town of Queen Creek hosts numerous special events that attract people from all over the region, state, a staff report stated. For example, the Trunk or Treat event places at least 15,000 to 20,000 people on closed streets and open parking lots, the vast majority being children. Additionally, people are corralled along significant roadways, Ellsworth and Ocotillo, before the event begins, end quote. End of story. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Janet Pettis can be reached at jpettis@iniusa.org. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek Hosting National Drug Take Back Event. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, October 21st, 2025. No author is listed. The Queen Creek Police Department will be collecting unused or expired prescription drugs as part of National Prescription Drug Take Back Day this weekend. Police will be collecting the items from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, October 25th at the Fry's at 25101 South Ellsworth Road. National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, held in partnership with the Drug Enforcement Administration, provides people with an opportunity to safely dispose of unused, unwanted, and expired prescriptions. Collection sites will not accept liquids, gels, inhalants, or syringes during the event. In April, QCPD announced that it would no longer be collecting prescription drugs for disposal during QC Recycles events. The department stated that it could no longer use its planned incinerator for program for medication disposal due to state and federal regulatory requirements. Properly disposing of prescription medications will now require the department to contract with an out-of-state vendor, quote, which would result in significant costs, end quote, according to an April email from the QCPD. Quote, we will continue to support and participate in the Drug Enforcement Agency's National Prescription Drug Take Back Day events when possible, and we are actively exploring cost-effective, compliant solutions that could enable us to host additional QCPD-sponsored Take Back events in the future, end quote, Chief Randy Bryce stated in the email. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt. I'm your volunteer reader. Continuing on, our next article is entitled Fed Cuts Hurt Domestic Violence Assistance. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune October 13, 2025 and updated October 21, 2025, written by Madison Eniton. Every October, communities across the nation unite to recognize Domestic Violence Awareness Month, a time to shed light on a crisis that affects countless families and to honor the resilience of survivors. For A New Leaf, an East Valley nonprofit dedicated to helping those impacted by domestic violence, October carries a renewed sense of urgency. As federal funding cuts ripple through Arizona, organizations like A New Leaf are feeling the strain. Despite reduced resources, its mission remains steadfast, helping families change their lives and giving survivors the chance to rebuild. We've been dedicated to helping survivors of domestic violence across the spectrum for decades, said Tanner Swanson, spokesman for A New Leaf. Our mainstay is providing direct shelter for survivors, families, and individuals, ensuring they have safety right away. Across Maricopa and Pinal counties, A New Leaf operates multiple shelters and one of the state's most innovative programs known as DV Stop. That program guarantees survivors a safe, temporary location, such as a hotel or a partner site, even when shelters are full. We don't turn people away when they're in danger, Swanson said. Safety can't wait. But safety is only the first step. The organization's all-encompassing services include counseling, court advocacy, housing assistance, and employment support, essential lifelines for those seeking independence from their abuser. It often takes 7 to 9 attempts for someone to leave an abusive relationship successfully, Swanson said. That's why we meet survivors wherever they are in their journey. Last year, A New Leaf served 5,872 survivors of domestic violence, a number Swanson calls both a testament to the need and just scratching the surface. The emotional toll of the work is heavy, but the impact is undeniable. I've met so many survivors whose stories stay with me, Swanson said. Seeing them go from crisis to confidence, that's what drives me. One survivor I met years ago is now married and thriving. Watching that kind of transformation keeps you going. Domestic violence, Swanson emphasized, takes many forms beyond physical harm, including psychological, financial, and emotional abuse. These less visible bounds can be just as devastating, and breaking free from them often requires long-term personalized support. Some reports say a significant number of Arizonans experience domestic violence within Maricopa County, noting that as many as 36.5% of women and 27.1% of men may experience some form of intimate partner violence, noting it can include physical, sexual, financial, emotional, and technological abuse, and poses risks to children and even pets and bystanders. Still, federal cuts to critical funding sources forced a new leaf to reduce its court advocacy staff and limit some services. "We went from 6 advocates to 2," Swanson said. "That's heartbreaking because those are the people who walk survivors through the legal system, one of the scariest steps in leaving abuse." To bridge the gap, a new leaf is turning to the community. Throughout October, the organization is hosting events to raise awareness, collect donations, and inspire action. Among them, a new leaf will hold its Fill the Truck Drive in Surprise, collecting essential items such as linens, toiletries, and non-perishable foods for its shelters. The program will also be holding With One Voice, a community breakfast and fundraiser at the farm at South Mountain in Phoenix, where survivors and advocates will share stories of resilience and renewal. "These events aren't just about raising money, they're about creating empathy," Swanson said. "Domestic violence isn't easy to talk about, but when people come together and hear these stories, it opens hearts and builds understanding." Swanson hopes community members will use this month as an opportunity to learn and act, whether by donating, volunteering, or simply checking in on someone they suspect might be in danger. "It's never wrong to reach out," he said. "Sometimes people don't even realize what they're experiencing is abuse. Talking to an expert or calling a hotline can literally save a life." Despite funding challenges, Swanson remains hopefully about the future of domestic violence prevention in Arizona. "Fatalities have declined in recent years, a sign that awareness and intervention programs are working." A new leaf also continues expanding its affordable housing footprint to provide long-term stability for survivors after shelter. For Swanson, the motivation is deeply personal. "Everyone has some connection to domestic violence, whether they realize it or not," he said. "For me, it's about making sure no one else has to live through that kind of fear. Seeing survivors rebuild their lives, that's why we do this." Those interested in getting involved can visit turnanewleaf.org for more information. Individuals in crisis are encouraged to call A New Leaf's 24-hour domestic violence hotline, 480-890-3039. End of story. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek's Newest Farmers Market Aims to Educate, Offer Connections. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent October 19, 2025, and written by Janet Perez. From apples to zucchinis, Queen Creek residents have plenty of fresh food options, and now the town's newest farmers market wants folks to connect with people who bring them that produce. The Pecan Lake Farmers Market launched this month at the Queen Creek Botanical Gardens, 25002 South 206th Street, a feature of Pecan Lake Entertainment. Quote, "We're excited to welcome our community to experience the connection between local food, nature, and beauty," end quote, stated Justin Rohner, market organizer at Queen Creek Botanical Gardens, in a press release announcing the new market. Quote, "The Pecan Lake Farmers Market is more than a market. It's a place to gather, learn, and celebrate local growers and makers," end quote. The botanical gardens are part of the town's growing agritainment sector, and true to that moniker, the gardens want to make the farmers market experience fun and educational. Along with produce, local vendors will be offering baked goods, meats, flowers, and handcrafted items. While parents shop, kids can play on inflatables or visit the petting zoo. Families can also tour the gardens or take gardening classes. The market is open from 7 to 11 a.m. on Saturdays, and it will take place year-round. During the cooler months, residents can also go to the long-running Queen Creek Family Market at Schneff Farms, 24810 South Rittenhouse Road. The botanical gardens contain various demonstration gardens such as an English garden, a Japanese garden, a vertical garden, and an urban garden in its nearly 10-acre site. In the future, the botanical gardens has plans to build other themed gardens in the future. You can eat anything in the gardens, including the flowers. The Queen Creek Botanical Gardens also works with new agricultural technology that promotes sustainability. Cultivating Goodness is the charitable arm of the gardens, and its mission is to, quote, cultivate goodness and lift humanity through world-class edible gardens, interactive exhibits, and easy-to-access community services. They gather, inspire, and nourish the greater good in all of us, end quote. Everybody that works at the botanical gardens has a huge passion to just teach people about where your food comes from, growing your own food. There's nothing fresher than just growing in your backyard and you making stuff from it, said Joanna Williams, marketing manager at the gardens. Admission and parking are free, and the event is pet-friendly with both indoor and outdoor spaces. End of story. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Janet Perez can be reached at jperez@iniusa.org. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek School Bus Drivers Under Stricter Rules. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune October 19, 2025, and written by Samantha Ray. Reacting to a rise in preventable incidents and damages that have cost taxpayers $100,000 since July, Queen Creek Unified School District has changed its refresher training rules for its bus drivers and conducting ride-along evaluations. The District Transportation Department reports that since the beginning of the school year, it has responded to 12 school bus accidents, 10 of which were deemed preventable, and documented 4 separate incidents involving buses backing into fences or fuel island poles in the transportation yard. Those accidents have cost the district $100,000 since July. The monthly governing board report from the department details a strategic plan to address the rise in preventable incidents, which are being credited to route complacency and inattention. First, the district is conducting ride-alongs with all drivers to assess behind-the-wheel skills and provide constructive feedback. This comes as a result of increased incidents involving right-side tire damage due to contact with curbs. Quote, this trend is concerning, end quote, District Transportation Director Sean West wrote in the board report. Quote, all drivers are trained on proper turning techniques to avoid such issues, and recurring damage of this nature is unacceptable. Bus tires are a costly expense, and preventable damage directly impacts our operational budget. Additionally, bus drivers involved in any kind of accident will now have to complete at least 20 hours of mandatory refresher training. Previously, this level of training was only mandated after a driver was involved in 3 or more accidents. For minor incidents like backing into a pole, the department can choose to reduce training hours to 5 to 10 based on the number of previous incidents. Quote, given the frequency and preventability of recent incidents, we can no longer afford to delay interventions, end quote, West wrote. For refresher training, drivers are required to pass a skills lab with training staff, demonstrate proficiency in making right-hand turns, navigate light areas such as bus loops and neighborhood subdivisions, and practice defensive driving techniques. Queen Creek is not the only entity holding drivers responsible. The Arizona Department of Public Safety has become stricter on driver accountability, advising districts that driver certificates may be suspended based on the type and severity of accidents. West gave the recent example of a longtime district bus driver whom DPS required to undergo remediation after hitting a car in a parking lot, the driver's 3rd accident. West said that other school districts he's spoken to are seeing driver certifications revoked if a driver has had 3 or more accidents. As it is, the department has monthly training meetings for drivers. In these meetings, staff focus on topics or issues that are most prominent at the time. In recent meetings, West and his training staff have been reviewing strategies to help drivers address rising student management issues on buses. Additionally, DPS requires drivers to complete a 6-hour refresher course every 2 years. West emphasized that as the district tries to maintain a tradition of excellence, the state's minimums aren't just enough in Queen Creek Unified. In the state, they tell you that to become a school bus driver, you have to pass a specific written test at 80%, West said. Well, that still means you're 20% inefficient, so we try to raise the bar here in Queen Creek. Right now, we're trying to get everyone at 90% proficiency. We put a driver behind the wheel with refresher training as long as they need it to feel the confidence that they need to be successful. West touched on the national driver shortage, noting that while the district has maintained positive retention, he hopes this initiative will boost morale for all drivers, whether or not they've had incidents, and help them feel more supported and confident in their roles. I think they're going to be able to be better drivers because they're going to realize that we're taking this seriously and we want what's best for them. We want what's best for our kids. Our students are the priority, and school buses aren't cheap, West concluded, and we understand taxpayers pay for these, so we're just trying to do everything that we possibly can. It's not that they're bad drivers. We just want them to be better, and the only way we're going to be able to do that is through training and through guidance. End of story. Well, that wraps up today's edition of the East Valley News. Thank you for joining me today for the news in Santan and Queen Creek. This is Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.